Well, I bring you warm greetings from cold Canada. And in Canada right now, we don't have any snow where we live. We live in southwestern Ontario, which is down near the Great Lakes, or about a 45-minute drive from Lake Huron, which has beautiful beaches, even though we're in the middle of the country, and about a half an hour drive from Lake Erie to the south. We don't have any snow yet. Normally, we have snow by now. By the time we get back to Canada, we will. My wife and I have been traveling since the 2nd of December, and we left the 2nd of December and flew to Cambodia. We were in Cambodia ministering to Filipino missionaries there, so I have my Filipino formal wear today. And I guess if I was really formal, I'd do up my top button, but I'm not going to do that this morning. And there are missionaries serving, planting churches in Cambodia. Isn't that amazing? You know, 15, 20 years ago, we would not have thought that we could be in Cambodia planting churches. But that's the opening of the door by God to minister to those people. And we're seeing many churches started, people coming to faith in Christ there in Cambodia as well. And so we were there about a week. And then we flew down to Melbourne because I grew up in Melbourne. My parents were missionaries, and I did my high school in Melbourne. I was in Benalla for about 3 or 4 months when we arrived in 1971, and then moved from Benalla to Ringwood, Croydon area, and my father planted a church there in Croydon back in the 70s. I did my, do you call it matric still? Matric? That was an old word, I guess, and I did that sixth form in Melbourne, Maroondah High School there. And then we left and went to Canada. And I lived in Canada for about 10 years, met Kathy there, my wife. We've been married for 29 years. We have 4 children, 28-year-old son, a 26-year-old son, a 21-year-old daughter, and a 19-year-old son. And we praise the Lord that they're following the Lord, and that's an encouragement and a blessing. That's not guaranteed, but we praise the Lord for that faithfulness and blessing from the Lord. I am a missionary kid, but I'm also a missionary grandkid because my grandparents were missionaries as well. And who here has heard of G. Campbell Morgan? Put up your hand if you've heard of G. Campbell Morgan. Some of you? Well, G. Campbell Morgan was a British pastor, Westminster Chapel, Buckingham Gate, just down the road from Buckingham Palace. And he left England to minister in the States and Canada. In 1920, he preached a message in Toronto, Ontario, and my grandfather was gloriously saved in the 1920s. My grandfather was studying for the Anglican ministry, left the Anglican church, came to know the Lord, became a Baptist, went to the Baptist college there and trained there, and then my grandfather went as a missionary to Jamaica in 1927. And served there in Jamaica. My grandfather and grandmother were married in Jamaica and ministered there from 1927 to 1959. And my grandfather died there in Jamaica while he was pastoring a church that he had planted there in Jamaica. And my father took over from my grandfather. I was born in 59, and so I was 1 year old when we went to Jamaica and lived in Jamaica from age 1 to age 10. And then when I was 12, moved to Australia. And so Canada, Jamaica, and Australia, all Commonwealth countries. And I tell people that I know 6 languages, but they're all English. Okay? I know Canadian English and Jamaican English and Patois, which is a broken English in Jamaica. And then I know American English. And then my wife and I went to England as church planters, and we served there for 10 years in the south of England in Hampshire. And so I know English, and I know some Australian English as well. So all 6 languages, but all, and English, we said that already. So we praise the Lord for that heritage of G. Campbell Morgan leading my grandfather to the Lord, my grandfather leading my father to the Lord, my father and mother leading me to the Lord, and then my wife and I leading our children to the Lord. So we can say that G. Campbell Morgan has great, great grandchildren in the faith. Isn't that amazing? Passing your faith on from generation to generation. That's only by God's grace. You know, it's only by God's grace that our children are following the Lord. You know, there are some things you need to do, and some faithfulness to the Lord and faithfulness to His Word and to obedience to His Word. But you can do all of those things and still our children not coming to faith in the Lord. And so that is something we just praise the Lord about. So we praise the Lord for that opportunity to minister in England, and we planted a church there in England. And while we were in England, we had opportunity to minister in Romania. So isn't it? It's a circle, isn't it? As we took in 1991, took humanitarian aid because the Iron Curtain had just come down, and we were able to go across the English Channel and then through Europe in a van with clothing and Bibles and medicine to minister to the Romanian church back then in 91. Praise the Lord for that opportunity. And now we're in Canada and serving the Lord in Canada. And we are a mission, independent mission, serving the Lord in Canada with 54 Canadians employed by our mission, serving in 18 countries of the world. And so we have Canadians serving in the Philippines. And that's where ABWE, or ABWE, started back in 1927. And in the Philippines today, over 1,500 Baptist churches across the Philippines as a result of that beginning ministry that was started in the Philippines. So we have Canadians serving in the Philippines. We have Canadians serving in Bangladesh. We have a nurse, a Canadian nurse, serving in the hospital there, Memorial Christian Hospital in Bangladesh. That hospital has been going for decades. Many hundreds of people have come to faith in Christ there in Bangladesh. And we praise the Lord for that ministry. That hospital there is now being rebuilt, and we're looking for construction workers to go and work in helping build that hospital in Bangladesh. So maybe we could have a partnership between this church and the ministry in Bangladesh. ABWE Mission has, in the States and Canada, has raised about $2.5 million to build that hospital there. And we're looking for teams to go and minister. So maybe you could pray about that possibility of ministering there in Bangladesh. One of the largest populations of Muslim people in the world, Indonesia and Bangladesh. Opportunity to minister to those people for the Lord. Then we have Canadians serving in Israel. We have one couple ready to go to serve in Israel, one couple that's been serving for 20 years in Israel. 5 churches planted over the last 20 years in Israel. That's amongst Jewish people and also Arabs, people coming to faith in Christ there in Israel. And then we have missionaries in Eastern Europe and Kosovo and Bosnia. I'm going to talk a little bit about Kosovo and share a little bit of story of one of our missionaries there in Kosovo as well. A Muslim country, high persecution of Christians there in that Muslim country. I went to Kosovo, Pristina, which is the capital, just a few years ago, and they told me of the war there, and the Serbs, who are in the north, Orthodox Christians in name, were attacking the Muslims in Kosovo. And as they attacked, if the Serbs would kill a Muslim man, they would take a knife and cut a cross in his chest, so that when the Muslim people would come and find that Muslim man there dead, a father or a brother or a son, then they would hate the cross. But praise the Lord, we've seen Muslim people come to faith in Christ there in Kosovo. Bosnia as well, ministry. We're in Romania, Canadian missionaries working in Romania and Ukraine and England and Portugal and the Gambia. And also from the Gambia, then we go down to Ghana and Togo. Right now from our church in Canada, we've sent a team. Actually, they leave on Boxing Day, and it's a construction team of 11. And they're going to go from Canada to North Togo to build a hospital there in North Togo. So if you're interested, you can travel to North Togo. That's in the contention zone. In the north of Africa, it's mostly Muslim. In the south of Africa, it's mostly Spiritist and Christian. And there's a contention zone between the Muslims moving down and the Christians and animists in the central area there, and right in the contention zone, we're building a hospital to minister to Muslim people, because that's where God is going to work in the lives of those people. We have Canadians who are church planters there in a little town called Mungo, North Togo. Lots of contention, lots of persecution around the world. And I just praise the Lord that you are partnering with Lin Thong and his wife Duan Song there in Laos, Cambodia. I have never been to Laos. I've been to Cambodia, and I've met Lin Thong and Duan Song before. They are partner missionaries with ABWE. So we praise the Lord for that contact here, and how the Lord is moving your heart to minister to those who are persecuted around the world. We just recently in Canada had the International Day of Prayer. Do you have that here? International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church? And that was maybe a month ago, I would say. Probably about a month ago. And as we were thinking about that, 70% of the world's population lives with restricted religious freedom. Restricted religious freedom. We praise the Lord for the freedom we have to preach the word and to gather together as believers and to pray and to minister. But 70% of the world lives with restricted religious freedom. Praise the Lord for that freedom here in Australia today. Did you know that there are 200 million people today who are suffering for their faith? 200 million Christians around the world persecuted and suffering for their faith today. That's an amazing number, because evangelical Christians, there are only about 600 million evangelical Christians on average in our world today. And so a third of those are living under persecution. They also tell us that throughout the history of Christianity, the number of believers from the time of Christ to now, on average, one out of every 200 believers will have been martyred for their faith. One out of every 200. That's taking all the Christians from the beginning of the church to now. If you took all of them, one out of every 200 would be martyred for their faith. So we remember what God is doing. Thank you for your faithfulness there in Laos, and the ministry there. And we're looking forward to seeing religious freedom come to that country and how God will continue to work there. I was telling our brother Bradford here that when we were in England, we used to pray for Albania, because that was a closed country. It was a communist country, and we couldn't get into that country. The only two ways you could get the gospel into Albania was radio waves. And some people would go to the north shore of Italy, put scriptures in bottles, cap the bottles, and throw the bottles into the Adriatic, hoping that the bottles would wash upon the shore of Albania. Today, I serve on a committee of the Albanian Translation Committee, and one of our Abwe missionaries has translated the Bible into Albanian, and that also covers Kosovo, because they speak Kosovar Albanian there. And we are publishing the Bible. Just recently, a company asked if they could produce 30,000 Bibles in the Albanian language. That's what God can do as He opens up countries. And we're praying for Laos and these other countries with the gospel. I was in Albania in August and was there arranging for the printing of Bibles in Albania. The change that can happen just over the few 15 or 20 years, and how God can open those doors. And we look forward to seeing what God will do in Laos as well. We're talking about sacrifice this morning, and I wonder if you could just take your Bibles and turn to that Hebrews passage. That Hebrews passage there is Hebrews chapter 13, and thank you for reading that, Tim, for us. I wanted to look especially at those verses talking about sacrifice. And verse 10 and following are some of the verses we'd like to look at here. We're going to be looking at three sacrifices this morning. Three sacrifices. We're talking about sacrifice, and we're going to look at the sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Then we're going to look at the sacrifice on Mount Carmel. And then we're going to look at the sacrifice on Mount Hazelbrook. Is there a Mount Hazelbrook? I guess we're up pretty high. The sacrifice on Mount Hazelbrook. But first, let us look at the history of sacrifice. And in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 13, we read, "We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacles have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate." Praise the Lord for the sanctifying of ourselves, those who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, through the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. But the author of Hebrews is comparing the Old Testament sacrifices with the New Testament and what Jesus Christ has done in his sacrifice once for all for sin. On the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. And as he would go into that Holy of Holies that would only be entered once a year he would go into that Holy of Holies with blood that he would sprinkle on the mercy seat. Picturing what Jesus Christ would do one day and the sacrifice of his blood on the cross. And so in this verse it says, "We have an altar wherewith those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat," because it's a new covenant, it's a new altar established through the blood of Jesus Christ. "That he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate. Therefore, let us go to him," Jesus Christ, "outside the camp, bearing his reproach." And that's what those people who are suffering that persecution are 200,000 people today, bearing his reproach. "For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Let's bow in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that it was a perfect sacrifice. It was a sinless sacrifice. It was an efficacious sacrifice because it was able to take away our sins and the sins of the world. Lord, we thank you that sacrifice was made and that sacrifice was acceptable to you through the blood of Jesus Christ and his holy life, and that you raised him from the dead on the third day, signifying that that sacrifice was a propitiatory sacrifice for our sins. Lord, we thank you for that sacrifice, and we ask, Lord, that you might help us as we learn a little bit about sacrifice and how we in our lives can give our lives as a sacrifice to you in service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this verse, we see those sacrifices, and our brother pointed out one of those sacrifices. There are three sacrifices here in this passage. And the first sacrifice is our sacrifice of praise to God. We've already sacrificed this morning as we sang praises to his name. People in persecuted countries, it's a greater sacrifice than we. Ours is a very soft sacrifice, an easy sacrifice as we sing praises to God. But in countries of the world, many countries of the world, it is a place where they offer an expensive and dear sacrifice to the Lord. Also, in this verse, we find in the next verse, we find two other sacrifices. "And do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." We show our love for the Lord by the willingness to sacrifice as we praise his name, as we share what God has blessed us with. This morning as we had offering, as we placed offering on that offering basket or bag there, we were sacrificing to God. And the sacrifice that we give evidences our hearts. It evidences our hearts. And I heard about the offering that you took for the people in Laos. I work with David Ford as well. I think you're working with David Ford. And David Ford is a good friend. I saw him back in July, and they're in Thailand, and he connects with various countries of the world. And as you took up that offering, that was a sacrificial offering to give, to minister to those people there in Laos. And God sees the sacrifice. Remember Peter denied the Lord three times. And then when he came to the cross, there was a challenge, he denied the Lord. He said, Lord, I'll never deny you. And then he denied the Lord three times. But then after the resurrection, Jesus meets with his disciples by the Sea of Galilee for a breakfast. And they come in from the Sea of Galilee after they've been fishing. Jesus has the breakfast ready. And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And then he says, what does he say? Feed my sheep. And the second time the Lord says, the first time he says, do you love me more than these? Now, there's no instruction about what the these are, but whatever it was something that Jesus was referring to. It might have been the food. It might have been the other disciples. It might have been something that was there. Do you love me more than these? And Peter says, Lord, I love you. And the Lord says, if you love me, show your love by feeding sheep. It's a declaration. It's a showing of our love in sacrificing as we appreciate the love that he's given to us, as we worship him. How do we do that? By feeding sheep. And so the Lord asks the second time, Peter, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know I love me. And he says, tend my sheep. Now, I've worked on a farm before. Anyone here worked on a farm? Some of you worked on a farm. Maybe not many. But I worked on a Jersey farm in Michigan for one summer. And we milked Jersey cattle. And feeding sheep is one thing, because you can take the bale of hay or the grain and feed the sheep. Tending the sheep deals with a whole different matter. And it's not just in the sacrifice of feeding people, but it's in caring for those people. It's tending those people. It's caring for their needs. It's the messy things of life. Are we willing to sacrifice in the messy things of life, not just in the feeding of the sheep? And I want to give you an example of one of our missionaries. It's Bill and Carol. And I won't give you their last name because they work in a restricted access country. But Bill and Carol were ministering to widows and orphans. True religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And they were in Kosovo. They're on home assignment right now. And they were ministering there with widows and orphans. Those are the widows of the men that died in that war against the Serbs. And as they were ministering there with widows and orphans, they found a little girl, 8-year-old girl, named Arbnora. And Arbnora had abdominal cancer. And in Kosovo, there was no treatment for that. And so they said, we've got to help this little girl, this 8-year-old girl, unbeliever. Family were unbelievers. But they said, we've got to help this girl because we need to keep her alive. And maybe through this, we'll see her come to faith in Christ. They were feeding the sheep. So they went down to Greece, which is just south of Kosovo, and they found a hospital there that would give free treatment, doctors that would give free treatment, and also an insurance that could cover the medication. And this girl was operated on, and they did chemotherapy and radiation therapy, and she was able to be declared cancer-free. But during that time, it took about 3 or 4 months as they ministered, and sometimes even longer as they traveled back and forth. But Arbnora came to faith in Christ. And Arbnora's mother, Sadate, came to faith in Christ. What were they doing? They were tending the sheep, declaring their love for the Lord in sacrifice. And as they sacrificed their time, God gave them fruit. Now, one of the administrators told me, he said, I almost wrote them and said to them, what are you doing in Greece looking after a girl, little girl, when you should be in Kosovo planting churches? But that's what planting churches is all about. It's feeding sheep. It's caring for people. And as they cared for that girl, Abnora came to know the Lord. And then Sadate, the mother, came to faith in Christ. And they went back now to Kosovo. She was declared cancer-free. When they got back to Kosovo, they found out that Abnora's uncle was an imam in the mosque. And he saw what they did for his niece. He came to faith in Christ. And then he was able to bring other men to faith in Christ. Why? Because all they did was feed sheep. Now, Bill and Carol, they've never been to Bible college before. Was 50 years of age. He was an appliance repairman. He had an appliance repair shop in their little town of Wallaceburg, Ontario. Their children had grown up and left home, and they said, "We're 50. We want to serve the Lord." So they sold their appliance shop. And they first went to Pakistan, and they served the Lord in Pakistan. There's great need in Pakistan for evangelism. And Australians and Canadians can get into Pakistan fairly easily. So they served there in Pakistan for a while, and then they moved from Pakistan to Turkey. They served in Turkey for a while, and then they moved from Turkey to Kosovo. God used them to reach this couple. I remember one day I was on my computer in the office, and I started my computer, and my Skype was on. Some of you use Skype? Skype just was on, and all of a sudden there was this funny sound from the computer as a call came in from Kosovo. And there was Bill on Skype saying, "I'd like to introduce you to three new brothers." And he showed me these dark-haired men who had just come to faith in Christ. And then he sent a picture of the back of one of these men, because these men had come to faith in Christ, and then the other Muslim men were persecuting this man, and there were scars and bruises on this back as this man was being beaten in an alley. And as he was being beaten, a car came along and the light shone, and the men ran away and left this man before killing him, even though he was beaten. All they were doing was feeding sheep. My question to you is, how do you declare that love for the Lord? You say, "Lord, I love you. I'll do anything for you." And he says, "Feed my sheep." Showing that love to others. Kathy, we've been married for 29 years, and every day, I say, "I love you. I love you. I love you." But it's not enough just to say, "I love you." I have to show and declare that love in what I do from day after day after day. Same thing with our Lord. Loving the Lord by feeding the sheep. So the sacrifice is not only of praise, but of doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now let's go to Genesis 22, because there we come to that first sacrifice in Genesis chapter 22. What are the elements of a sacrifice? Think about that. What makes up a sacrifice? There is the wood, there is the fire, and there is the lamb or the sacrifice. And so in each of these sacrifices, we're going to look at what was missing in the sacrifice. The first sacrifice in Mount Moriah, Abraham is taking Isaac, and the Lord has said to him, "Show me that you love me. Abraham, show me that you love me." And he says, "Take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him." It's a demonstration of our love in sacrifice. And so he takes Isaac with him, and verse 3 of Genesis 22. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, Mount Moriah. And Abram said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood
of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" So Isaac is wise. He says, "We got the fire, we got the wood, where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. And that's a picture of Jesus Christ, and that God would provide Jesus Christ one day. Remember John the Baptist saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so they went up to the mountain there. And Abraham, in verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. Notice that phrase there. He placed the wood in order. Are you good at building fires? Some of us, put up your hand if you're good at building fires. Okay, there's one or two here, you know, and you know how to do it because you start with the small stuff and you get a little larger and it gets bigger and bigger. And then you don't need a kerosene or petrol. If you can build a fire, you can start a fire with just a little bit of kindling, but then building larger and larger. And we go camping in Canada in Algonquin Park, where we have canoes and we portage from one lake to another and one river to another with backpacks. And we have to build our own fires. In order to build a good sacrifice, in order to have a good sacrifice, the wood has to be placed in order. And that's what Abraham did. He placed the wood in order. Notice the next sacrifice. We're going to be talking about the wood because Elijah did the same thing. And then in the last sacrifice, we want to talk to you about that as well. He placed the wood in order and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I can't believe that God would even ask Abraham to do something like this, but God had a plan. And as he's ready to slay his son, the angel of the Lord called to him and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said to him, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Sacrifices declare our love for God. And Abraham was willing to not even withhold his only son, his most precious son. What are we willing to sacrifice in declaring our love for him? Let's go now to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. And in 1 Kings 18, we see another sacrifice. We've seen the sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And the sacrifice on Mount Moriah, there was wood and there was fire, but no lamb. Now let's look at the next one here. 1 Kings 18. And I'll just relay the story. And I think you probably heard the story. And so there was a contest between Baal and Elijah. And the prophets of Baal, they had their turn first, and they built their altar, and they had their wood, and they had their sacrifice. What was missing? The fire. Whoever could call down fire from heaven and burn the sacrifice, that would be the true God. And so the prophets of Baal, they built their fire and then they called out to Baal and they spent hours calling out to Baal and they screamed and they shouted. Elijah even made fun of them. Well, maybe he's gone away somewhere. He's not around at the moment. Made fun of them and they cut themselves trying to get the attention of Baal. No fire. No fire. They were sacrificing, weren't they? Even to the point of cutting themselves. They were showing their devotion to Baal, but no fire. So it was Elijah's turn, and you know the story there. But let's look at verse 30. So then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was broken down. And Elijah took the 12 stones according to the numbers of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed, and he put the wood in order. Notice that same phrase there. He put the wood in order. So he built the altar, had the trench around the altar, the stones were built up, and then he put the wood in order. That's part of the sacrifice there, the wood that was put in order. And then he commanded and asked that there would be water placed. He cut the bull in pieces. So the bull was there, the sacrifice was there, and laid it on the wood. Fill 4 pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I'm your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and the water in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." So there was a recognition of the power of God, and there are people out there in our world and they recognize God's power. But what about their love for that Lord? And what about the sacrifice that's involved in declaring that love for Him? So in this sacrifice, we have the wood and the sacrifice, but no fire. And God was the one who provided the fire. In the first one, God was the one that provided the lamb. The second one, God provides the fire. Now I'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, because here I would suggest to you is the sacrifice on Mount Hazelbrook. The sacrifice on Mount Hazelbrook. And there we read, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." It's interesting. Romans is just an amazing letter which sets out the sacrifice that is for our sin, talking about chapter 3 in verse 23. And it's interesting, I saw the pictures of Awana there, and we started the first Awana club in Australia back in 1972. It was the first Awana club registered in Rolling Meadows, Illinois, I guess, in the States. And we had a club where we trained children in memory verses. Amazing ministry. And if you're not involved, I'd encourage you to get involved. You have the time and the ability to get involved. Just about a month ago, we were at our church in Canada, in London, Ontario, where we live. And a man in his 30s came up to me and he said, his name was Shane. And he said, "You might not remember me, but I went to your Awana Club and I want to thank you for starting that Awana Club." He's 30 years of age now. He said, "Because at that Awana Club, I memorized those verses. And at that Awana Club, I learned God's word and hid it in my heart. And later on, I was away from God, and it was those verses that brought me back to Him." You know, all it was feeding sheep. Looking after kids in Awana is feeding the sheep. And it declares our love for the Lord as we care for those children. Feeding those sheep, feeding those lambs, tending those sheep, and the problems that those people have, whatever those are, we care for them, declaring our love for our Lord and our Savior. Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Someone has said that If you don't know what's worth dying for, you're not really living. If you haven't found something worth dying for, you're not really living. What are you willing to sacrifice for Him? There's so many things. Tending the sheep is a sacrifice as we care for those people. Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It makes sense to sacrifice for Him because of what He has done for us. And that's what Romans is talking about, in sin and the sacrifice for sin and sanctification and what God has done. And because of what He has done, present, I declare and ask you and beseech you, therefore, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice for Him. What about the sacrifice on Mount Hazelbrook this morning? We have the Lamb. The Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb is here in sacrifice. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's present in our hearts and in our lives. We have the fire. I would suggest the fire is the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and lives. What's missing this morning? The wood. The wood. We are the wood, I would suggest to you this morning. But in order for the wood to be effective, it has to be placed in order. Placed in order. The wood doesn't have a choice as to how it's placed in order, but I would suggest to you this morning that we are the wood. And we can present our lives to the Lord and say, Lord, I am the wood. And you can take my life and you can put it wherever you want to put it. You can use it whichever way you want to use it. You can put me in order this morning. I'm giving my life as a living sacrifice for you. I don't know what that means in your life. I don't know what sheep there are that God has provided for you this morning. But the Lord says to me and He says to you, do you love me? You say, yes, Lord, I love you. Then feed my sheep. That's caring for the people of the world. Caring for the people in Hazelbrook. Caring for the people in Laos. Caring for the people in Kosovo. Wherever the Lord would provide opportunity, saying, Lord, I'm willing to give to you in service for you. And notice here that verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. So often those are the distractions. The world wants to squeeze us into its mold. And that stops us from being a sacrifice. But be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. That's a changing of the mind. It's allowing Him to set the wood of our mind in order. That you may prove, what's that word prove? It's demonstrate. It's show what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you can produce the will of God in your life by feeding sheep. The sacrifice on Mount Hazelbrook. How can we allow Him to use us for His glory? Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the sacrifices. The sacrifices of the Old Testament, picturing what Jesus Christ would do. We thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that sacrifice, we're able to worship here this morning. Worship our Lord and Savior. Father, help us to be able to declare that love for You and what You have done for us in the sacrifice of our lives. Lord, show us by the power of Your Holy Spirit, each individual person here, how we can be that wood for You. Father, if there's anyone here that does not know You, has never taken understanding and taken that blood of the sacrifice and by the grace, Your grace, and by the power of Your word applied it to their heart and life, that today they might know You and come to faith in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.